Episode 152.
What you're taking is you're taking more advanced automotive technology classes along with the business classes. And so you're taking like a failure analysis class. You're taking a fuels and lubrication class. You're taking a hydraulics class. I remember taking a fluid power class, a diesel class. So you're taking more automotive technology classes than just transmissions and engines and steering, suspension and brakes and stuff like that.
Welcome, aftermarketers, to On Point from Remarkable Results Radio, and a special interview from an auto care industry professional.
On Point.
Hello, aftermarketers throughout North America and around the world. Carm Capriotto here, and thanks for listening to Remarkable Results Radio, and welcome to episode 152 with Scott Norman, associate professor at Pittsburgh State University. Yes, you're in for a treat with an automotive technology educator. This episode is brought to you by Federal Mogul Motor Parts, with brands like Moog, Felpro, Wagner Brake, Champion, Seal Power, FP Diesel, and more. They're the parts techs trust. Find out more at fmmotorparts.com. Hey, if you're listening via a subscription to iTunes, Google Play Music, Stitcher Radio, or Spreaker, I appreciate your subscription. You know that you get the latest episode to your smartphone as soon as it's released. These apps also do a good job of organizing the shows and tracking how far you've listened, and even helps you pick up right where you left off. You really don't want to miss any portion of every interview, because they're good to the last drop. Hey, now get ready to meet Scott Norman from Pittsburgh State University in Pittsburgh, Kansas. Yes, there's a Pittsburgh in Kansas. Scott is an associate professor in the Department of Automotive Technology and the automotive coordinator for their four-year bachelor's degree program. As an industry, we can't get enough information from people in Scott's position. They are recruiting and training our future techs and understand where the seniors go when they graduate. Now, this episode is packed with tons of knowledge you can use. Scott came from the corporate side of the industry and is now a professor at a top automotive technology university. And he's also the president of the National Association of Automotive Universities. And on top of all of that, he is chairman of the National Automotive Service Technology Committee for Skills USA, and he agreed to come back and bring us up to speed on Skills USA. There's a lot more to be found in the show notes page at remarkableresults.biz/E152, and there you'll find Scott's email and links to the college and Skills USA and also WorldSkills. I promise this episode is fast-paced and stocked with smart takeaways to round out your knowledge of the importance and value of post-secondary education for our future technicians. Now, here we go with Scott Norman. A warm welcome to Scott Norman, Associate Professor, Department of Automotive Technology, and the Automotive Coordinator at Pittsburgh State University in Pittsburgh, Kansas. Hey, Scott, are you ready to go on point?
Oh, I sure am, Cam.
Oh, man. Wow. Glad to have you. There's so much to talk about. Now, when I was talking to you first, I kept thinking Pittsburgh, PA, and you corrected me. Pittsburgh, Kansas.
Yep, we're in southeast Kansas. We're about 20 minutes from Joplin, Missouri. So we're on the southeast corner of Kansas.
Wow.
About 2 hours from Kansas City, 2 hours from Tulsa, 2 hours from Springfield, Missouri, 2 hours from Wichita, Kansas.
This is Dorothy's Kansas.
Yep, it sure is. And sometimes we'll see Toto and the tornado around here.
Got it. So you must have a passion for teaching.
Oh, I sure do. I've been doing it for over 20 years now. And when I was an automotive student, I would have never thought I would have been teaching. I was one of the students that was afraid to get up and talk in class. I had a stutter. There would be no way I could ever do something like that. But here I pretty much made a career of it.
What's your resume look like? So after school, you did what?
Well, when I graduated high school, I had really no idea what I wanted to do. I was good at working on cars because probably unlike a lot of fellow automotive technicians, I did not have a father who knew anything about cars. So I had to work on all my stuff myself, and friends kind of helped me out.
Okay.
And over the summertime when I graduated high school, I just had no direction at all. And a family friend said, "Hey, I'm taking some automotive classes at a local community college."
Yeah, yeah.
I grew up in St. Louis, and so I went there and I started to get a job at some independent shops and got some great experience with that. And then when I graduated with my associate's degree, I tried to get a job at a dealership in the St. Louis area, which I didn't realize at the time is union-based. And so here I am, 18 years old, probably my hair was a little long in the 80s, and and I'm trying to get a job, and nobody wanted to hire me because I didn't know anybody in the union.
Wait a minute. Now, wait a minute. The 80s, you probably had a mullet, right?
Well, I don't quite remember.
But, oh, that's all right. That's all right.
Probably, yeah. So one of the one of my friends that was the class ahead of me came back and was telling us about the school in Southeast Kansas that he was going to. They had a 4-year automotive degree, which I never heard anything about that.
Yeah.
And they said, well, it's a school that you're doing your automotive technical classes along with business classes and professional classes, and it, just to get more education. And so I had a little bit of money saved up, and it was like, well, why not? Let's go to school for 2 more years. You know, cars were getting kind of complex back in the 80s. You know, we were going with fuel injection, and we were getting rid of distributors, and you know, so they were pretty complex. And I figured a couple more years may be helpful.
Yeah.
And so I came down here for 2 more years, which was the best decision, maybe one of the best decisions I ever made.
Okay, now I got to stop you there, because you said that, you know, you went for 2 more years to get the business side. How much technology in that last 2 years of actually hands-on with the cars?
Well, it was fairly a lot, because because what you're taking is you're taking more advanced automotive technology classes along with the business classes. And so you're taking like a failure analysis class. You're taking a fuels and lubrication class. You're taking a hydraulics class. I mean, we're taking a fluid power class, a diesel class. So you're taking more automotive technology classes than just transmissions and engines and steering, suspension and brakes and stuff like that.
You're in deep. Right, you're in deep.
Yep. So very technical. So I graduate in 1990, at the end of 1990, December 1990, and then the Gulf War was started a couple months before then.
Right.
So jobs weren't available, and so I got lucky and I got hired by GM, and I was there. It was the best job that all my students want to go to, talking to customer assistance.
Ah.
And so I was in Detroit, and there was a group of us that went up, a few friends, and so we were the customer assistant representative. And so I was getting calls from customers saying, I have this Geo Metro, has no power. And so I have to try to explain to a customer over the phone why their Geo Metro has no power.
Well, wait a minute. I mean, that was just naturally born in that car.
Well, yeah. So can you imagine how challenging that was, trying to explain to an angry owner why they're maybe they gave up a Camaro and now they're driving Geo Metro. So I did that for about a year. Then I got promoted to technical assistance, which was now talking to a technician. So I was on their fuel and drivability diagnostic, and that was back when we did it on phones versus today they do it all on the web and internet. But now I'm getting calls from technicians saying, I got this Geo Metro, it has no power, what should I do? And so now I'm talking about all the testing that they have to do and stuff like that. And so I work with engineering, I work with technicians over the phone. And about 93 is when the recession was over and people started to hire. And in the meantime, I was coming back to Pittsburgh on occasion to woo my girlfriend, fiance, now wife.
Ah, very good.
And,
yes.
And so while I was here, I would go to my old professors, and they would want to know, well, what's going on with Chevrolet? What's new and exciting? So I would get up in front of their classes, and I would talk, and I would explain this. And of course, it was a lot of fun. And so I realized I had a passion for that.
But what you didn't know is you were actually on a job interview.
Yeah, I guess you're right. So then the Blue Chrysler Corporation calls me and says, hey, we heard that you like to teach. Why don't you come out and do an interview with us? So I flew to L.A. and I do an interview for a technical training position, and I bombed the interview. This is terrible. I stutter. He starts talking to me about map sensors, wanted me to explain how a map sensor works, and I gave him all the basic information, but then he starts getting really in depth on like the circuitry inside,
okay.
And I'm like,
all right.
I don't know that.
All right.
And so I bombed this interview. So my flight doesn't leave until like that afternoon, and it's like 11 o'clock, and it's like, what am I going to do all day long? So I kind of hang around the training center, and I see some guys washing some cars, and so I go out there and I start helping with my student tie on. back in the early 90s, we were wearing suit and ties and everything. So I'm out there washing a Viper. And so my boss saw this kid out there washing a Viper in a suit and tie, wouldn't take his coat off. It was hot outside. And I guess he saw something in me and decided to hire me.
Isn't that a great story? I love it. And so you went to work for Chrysler doing what exactly?
I was your technical training instructor, so I was out in Salt Lake City. So I did the western side of the Rocky Mountains for a few years. Then I got promoted to Kansas City, which is closer to home.
Yeah.
And so then I did training from the Mississippi River all the way to the Rocky Mountains, teaching every single course that Chrysler had for about 14 years.
I'm talking with Jonathan Jacquelli, a technical product specialist with Federal Mogul Motor Parts. So, Jonathan, how does a service professional get the guru on the go van to their shop?
There's a couple ways. We do what we call cold calls, where we go around and just visit shops based on geographics. And there's also times where we team up with outside sales reps from other parts distributors and visit the shops on that basis.
So I love this. You pull into a shop on a cold call, they see the van, and they're probably excited to see you.
Yeah, I've had a couple shops where they've actually have already heard of the gurus via Facebook or social media. So when I show up, they've already been signed up and taken online classes, and now that the van's there, it's really easy to book a lunch and learn.
So you're really an extension of the Garage Guru training centers.
Yes, absolutely.
So you're all done with your lunch and learn. You spend 45 minutes to an hour. Probably that's all you can really get from a busy, busy shop. What are the technicians saying about your shop visit?
Oh, they love it. They thank me, you know, every second I'm walking out the door and just can't wait for me to come back again.
Federal Mogul Motor Parts' Garage Gurus is your go-to source for the vehicle training, technology, and answers you need to keep your next job on track. On site, online, or on demand, the gurus are here to help keep your business and your career on the road to success. Visit fmgarageguru.com. All right, I'm on the edge here. How'd you get here to the college?
Well, in 2007, I think we all know that things weren't looking real good for the automotive industry.
Right.
And there happened to be an opening. And, of course, I loved my job working for Chrysler. I mean, it was the best job ever. I love the technology. I love teaching technicians. I loved working at the training center. I loved the freedom that I had. But it just wasn't very good. You know, I could tell that if the company's not allowing you to buy pencils and paper, that's a problem.
So when
there was an opening at a faculty position at my old alma mater, then I interviewed and I got the job. And it was a good thing I did, because a year after that, all the technical training centers were closing down. They were laying off all the technical training instructors. If I would have kept that job, I would have been jobless.
You know, when I think back of all that you just told me, you've had some pretty good moves along the way. Now, was it your intuition that got you where you are today, partway?
Oh, I think it was just luck, being at the right place at the right time, knowing the right people. I think every job after I got out of college was because somebody knew somebody, or they knew me, and it was a word of mouth saying, "Hey, you need to talk to this kid." And when I was younger, and talk to him and see if he can help you out.
All right, so let's talk about the kids in your class. Oh, by the way, I know that you're a coordinator, automotive coordinator. Can you give me one quick minute on what that means?
Well, we have about 12 faculty member here at the university for automotive technology, and most of our students are on the automotive side. We also have a diesel and heavy equipment side.
Okay.
We have a collision side, and then we have a 2-year technician training program. So I'm the coordinator of the 4-year automotive side,
okay,
which does a lot of paperwork along with teaching class coordinating the other instructors.
I'm sure you love paperwork.
Yeah, we all got in this job in automotive technology working on cars. And obviously, back when I started, there was no computers that we were in front of every day. And I just can't believe how much computer skills I have to know now for my job.
Sure, I understand. The 4-year degree, how good is it for the student and for the industry?
Well, I talk to a lot of high school students. They'll come down filling us out, and they'll ask, I have an option of a 2-year degree. I have an option of a 4-year degree. They don't quite understand the whole automotive industry. And so I guess I'm going to spend a few minutes just giving you what I tell high school students as they come visit me.
Love to hear it.
Is that is that students, you know, they normally think, okay, I could be a technician, I could be an engineer, or I could be a production worker. That's really all they think about when they think of automotive. Someone designs the car, someone builds the car, then someone works on the car, and that's it.
Sure.
And so there are hundreds of maybe, I mean, I would say probably hundreds of two-year automotive programs throughout the nation, great programs where they're training students to be technicians, which obviously we need a lot of technicians right now, and that's very important. The problem you get into is that a lot of parents don't want to see their students go to a two-year school for a two-year degree. And so what's nice about the four-year degree is that mom and dad could be comfortable saying, hey, it's a four-year bachelor's degree in automotive technology. So we're still teaching engines, and we have a transmission class and an electrical class, and so all the same classes that a two-year degree does. But we also put in there business classes, more advanced automotive classes. So number one, the parents feel comfortable that, okay, they're getting something a little bit more. What that allows the students to do then is that their options when they graduate are so much greater. With a two-year degree, the students are going to go to the aftermarket field and be a technician, which is great, or they'll go to a dealership. And maybe at some point in their life, they're going to maybe go up to be a foreman or maybe a shop foreman or a shop manager or something like that. But with the four-year degree, now all of a sudden they are available for hundreds, if not thousands, of other jobs in the automotive corporate world. For example, GM, Chrysler, Toyota, Ford, Caterpillar, John Deere, Sherwin-Williams, all the insurance companies, they'll come down and they'll hire our students to go work corporate in the automotive arena as a corporate job.
Got it, because they, first of all, know automotive, and at least the technology side. But they've had a little finance, they've had a little HR, they've had a little, accounting? Yes. They've had a little salesmanship, maybe a little marketing. Are all those classes in the 4 year?
Yeah, they sure are. They sure are. So then they'll take all the general ed classes that an engineer does or a doctor or a nurse does, along with automotive classes. So what's fun is that here we have a student that maybe likes automotive, but they'll be able to take their fun automotive courses along with their accounting class and their business course and their history class that maybe they—
Oh, I have to take history and English and all that
stuff?
Yeah,
I got to take those too.
Gosh,
yeah.
I see. But it's a better sell to the parents.
It is a better sell to the parents, and it allows the students to have more opportunity in the long run. And I get a lot of students that will say, hey, I want to open up my own shop. I say, well, that's great. And so the problem with a two-year degree is that they give you the technical skills, but they may not give you that business skills.
Do you see or hear of a lot of changes going on in post-secondary with this four-year program?
I do see a few new programs coming on. I'm also the president of the— I have to remember the acronym here. It's the National Association of Automotive Universities, and so there's only roughly about 10 universities in the United States that offers a 4-year automotive technology degree. So remember that there's hundreds of 2-year programs.
Yeah.
There's probably dozens and dozens and dozens of engineering programs, but for a bachelor's degree, automotive technology degree, there's very limited amount. And so obviously there's a big demand, and with all these schools, with companies coming down wanting to hire our students to go work on the corporate side.
Excellent. Just great stuff. You're talk about being passionate. And talk about an exposure. You know, we're also talking to a person who's very involved with World Skills and Skills USA, and we're going to do another interview with you on that. So, man, I sure do appreciate you coming on. Hey, Scott, what's your favorite class to teach?
My favorite class to teach right now is my fuels and lubricant class. I'm also teaching an air conditioning class, but I've been doing the air conditioning class for about 10 years now at the university. And the fuels and lubricant class is I've been doing it for about 3 years. And so it's new. And, of course, with the automotive industry, we are constantly doing new things. And of course, anything new is exciting to me. And so I like it because I'm learning stuff new, like the like the students are.
Yeah, but in lubes, what is there a lot of new stuff going on? Because I remember a word from years ago, lubricity, you know, and all the multi-grades and the synthetics and the blends today. What's new in that area?
Well, there is that the students have to understand what all that stuff means. So as an example, in the class, I'll give them a oil bottle, and they're going to have to interpret every single acronym on the back of the oil bottle. And then if you ever read the back of an oil bottle, it's like alphabet soup as far as trying to understand all that.
So you teach them what the API donut is all about.
Exactly.
Right?
Okay. Well, they're going to have to interpret that. And I guess the difference between a four-year program and a two-year program is in a four-year program, they're going to have to be able to give oral presentations. They're going to have to be able to write and be able to explain that information to somebody. And so I'll make them write a paper about a short paper, maybe two pages about what all that means on their particular oil bottle. Then they're going to have to get up and they're going to have to present that to the whole entire class so they could explain it to somebody. They could write it if they need to and
wow.
actually understand that information.
Hey, what are you hearing from graduates?
Right now, it is a great time to graduate. The automotive industry needs people. And really, I guess my students are coming in saying, Professor Norman, I got a problem. I have three offers to work and I have no idea what to do. I have an offer at a dealership. I have an offer from an aftermarket independent, and I have an offer from a corporate, and I just don't know what to do.
Okay. Where do you see most of your students going?
Well, it's about a 50-50 split. We have about 300 students in our four-year program, and so we're graduating, let's say, 40 to 50 every May, and half of them are going on the corporate side. Half of them are going to either a dealership or an aftermarket independent.
So that means that the aftermarket, the independent, which I spent my whole life, you know, at that level in the distribution side with the independents, why are they only getting 25% of the grads?
Well, it's going corporate is very glamorous.
Yes. And are they lasting? I guess that's my point. Are they lasting at the dealerships? What do you know?
Well, at the dealership, I know that around here, we have some very large dealerships, especially in the diesel and heavy equipment side, that will steal a lot of our automotive students because they may have 5 to 15 to 20 different dealerships, and so they're a small corporation. And so there's lots of movement. There's a lot of chance to work your way up that dealership to maybe a service manager to operation manager, something like that.
All right, give me some advice. CARM's service, that's me, and I know you, and the graduating class is up. What would you whisper in my ear to help me recruit one of your students?
Great question. We have a lot of companies come down to visit us. And in fact, we have a company day next week in which 35 companies are going to come down to try to recruit our students. And so for all the aftermarket shops out there, number one, you need to get involved in any of your local schools, any of your local automotive schools. You need to make an appearance. I know that when we have a brand new company come down, let's say Navistar is coming down for the first time here, we will get no students sign up for the interviews until Navistar presents, talks about their company, talks about the opportunities, talk about what the entry-level job is, talk about the culture, talk about what to expect when they go work for them, talk about what's going to happen 5, 10, 20 years for working for that company. Once the students hear that, then at the end of the night, there's a big line for signing up for interviews the next day.
Yeah. It's almost like a hands-on thing. Once they hear and they say, wow, this is real. It's not on a piece of paper. I really heard someone talk about it. So I guess what you're saying is you're encouraging the independents to get there for career day, if you will, and talk about their business or the industry.
Yep. Most schools, most local schools will have a career day. And again, they have to get involved. If they want the best people, they're going to have to go hunt for them. You can't just put an ad in the newspaper because you're going to get so many different people applying that really aren't properly trained properly. And so it's best to what we talk about is to grow their own, you know,
yeah.
Try to find students in their area to actually keep them there in that area, grow them and find them.
Got
and,
it. Yeah.
And of course, it's a lot of recruiting, that's for sure.
Any trends in post-secondary that you see for automotive?
obviously the car is a lot more complex than what it used to be. And so you know, I think back to when I went to school, you know, we're taught carburetors, we're taught distributors, and now the cars are so much more complex, but the amount of time we have to teach is still the same. And so how do you fit all that information into a class for what the students are going to have to go out and deal with on day one?
There's a better advantage in the four-year program, though.
That is one selling point that I do tell students, is that really it's very hard to fit all that in 2 years.
Yeah, yeah.
And so with the cars being more and more and more complex, and then you get into hybrids and electric vehicles, and oh, my God, it really 4 years does give them a lot more exposure to be the expert of the expert. And so students, when they graduate, they are expecting to be the expert. They're going to be going out working for Ford maybe as the expert troubleshooter that's driving around trying to fix the problems. They're going to be the ones that are working with the engineering departments on, hey, sorry, you can't put that mount there because it's going to mess up changing an oil or something like that.
How are you and your peers staying current?
Well, we do a lot of training, that's for sure.
All right.
The good thing is that obviously I'm from the corporate side, and really all of our professors and instructors here are from industry. And so we have a lot of good contacts. Our graduates, we call them up. They come down and do seminars for us. We'll go to a Chrysler class or a GM class. We'll try to do any training we can.
Hey, I interviewed a guy named Bobby Bassett from Gates a couple weeks, three, 4 weeks ago. I don't remember exactly. And Bobby talked about tools for schools. Have you ever heard of that?
Oh, I sure have. In fact, I have one of his demonstrations here in my office. Oh, Bobby's a great guy. So Gates is a great partner. As an example, in my air conditioning class, I'll have my students go on their website and take the Gates training as an assignment. So it's a great relationship that Gates is doing as far as allowing schools like us to be able to have access to the components, the parts, and also the training. It's just great.
You got a waiting list for freshmen?
No, we don't. We don't do a waiting list at this point in time. We do sometimes on our two-year program, does have a waiting list on us, but for the four-year program, we just tend to hire more faculty.
Excellent.
I do see a trend right now of enrollment across automotive schools. Sounds like it's down just a little bit. And we think that because the job market is so good that students are getting jobs right out of high school, getting paid minimum wage, and they're not really going out to school because they're able to find jobs out there.
Hey, I have to tell you, I could listen to you for an hour, and I can't believe where the time went. Scott Norman, Associate Professor, Department of Automotive Technology, and the Automotive Coordinator at Pittsburgh State University in Pittsburgh, Kansas. Give us some great words to live by that you would share with your students.
Well, I used to tell my students when I teach electrical, some students are very, very negative, and I would say, well, don't be negative. Always be positive because you'll always have the greatest potential. And so I would tell them that at the beginning of the class, and they were like, huh? But then at the end of the class, they're like, oh, yeah, potential, being positive. So always stay positive.
You know, it reminds me, the older I got, the smarter my dad always got.
Yeah, that's for sure. Always listen to dad, that's for sure.
Yeah. Hey, thanks so much for being here.
Okay, thank you for having me.
Hey, aftermarketers, thanks so much for listening. Now, for an in-depth episode experience, don't miss the show notes that will include Scott Norman's email and links to the college and Skills USA. Find them exclusively on the show's episodes page, and here's the easy URL, remarkableresults.biz/E152. Hey, any questions or comments for me, catch me at carm@remarkableresults.biz or head over to the contact page on the website. Hey, don't forget, you're an important reason I bring you these interviews, so you can profit from the insights found in each episode. So help me spread the word via social media or email. I have to tell you, I'm grateful and thankful for your support. Thanks for being on board to listen and learn from another inspiring aftermarket professional. Until next time.